Here the Turtle is presented by Toyota. Toyota helps you get the most out of your drive. Just ask a friend who drives one. Shop buyatoyota.com, Toyota's official website for deals, to find the Toyota that's right for you. Toyota, let's go places. Thursday, September 19th, 2019, and Keith, it's a bye week in College Park. I normally say it's a game week in College Park for football. It is a bye week. Terps coming off a disappointing 20-17 loss to Temple, and ultimately everyone was talking about Penn State next week. Terps still had that game to play against Temple. Unfortunately, don't get the dream scenario of going in 3-0 and ranked, lost to a pretty good Temple team that played fantastic defense throughout the game. Terps had their chances, but ultimately a team loss for Mike Locksley and his crew. Defense didn't get enough stops. Offense didn't punch it in when they had the chances.
Yeah. A lot of credit to that Temple defense. That front seven, multiple first and goal stops, you know, fourth and goal stops to stay ahead or keep the lead or keep the Maryland running backs out of the end zone. You look back on that first drive that Josh Jackson had, you know, get that first down on the McFarland rush, but then a sack, a rush for no gain. He completes that pass to Demas for 11 yards, and then fourth and four, Scotty Montgomery, Coach Locksley decided to go for it, and, you know, that pass is intercepted, which is basically like a failed conversion on a fourth down, but that set the tone for how difficult it was going to be in the passing game. Maryland, obviously, with season lows in yards gained, but, you know, that Temple front seven and secondary really came up, you know, showed up to play on
Saturday.
Ultimately
on both sides of the ball, Temple won at the point of attack, especially for Maryland offensively. Josh Jackson did not get a ton of time to throw, and when he did get time, never looked really comfortable as Temple really had the edge on Maryland and with the defensive front. We praised Maryland's offensive line last week. Ultimately, a tougher game for them this week. Just never could really get anything going to keep Josh Jackson upright. And then ultimately, even when Jackson got a clean pocket, as he did on that final drive when Maryland still had a chance to get a touchdown and get the win, had a clean pocket and overthrew Chigo Conquo in the end zone. So as we said, Maryland had its chances. Temple certainly was not clean on special teams. Gave away the safety, had the shank 7-yard punt, allowed the long return to DJ Turner, our guy DJ Turner, who continues to look good in that return game, but Maryland just did not take advantage of its opportunities. As we said, Turner did play well in that game. Anthony McFarland over 100 yards, but I'm sure Ant does not care about any of those 100 yards. He wanted to get a couple of those times, get that 1 yard to punch it in, as Maryland got stopped on fourth down a couple of times right on the goal line. And Antoine Brooks, another former guest, we just have everyone on this show, had 13 tackles. So a couple of guys that played well across some facets. But ultimately, if you're Mike Locksley, you turn the page now, you say, look, guys, a team loss here to a good Temple team, a game we feel like we should have won, and we want to flush that out of our system, and we got to focus on us. We got to go back and look at the tape and correct the things that went wrong. I did like the aggressiveness from Scotty Montgomery and Mike Locksley on some of those fourth downs to go for, considering how much success Maryland's had offensively. Going right up the middle that many times, maybe you look, and if you're them, you do something different next time, but that's why you go back and you coach and you look at the tape and you coach them up for next week. Maryland with a huge game, as we said, next week against Penn State. Looking like it's going to be a sellout in College Park as Penn State comes in undefeated. Should be a very good game. A game we still think Maryland's got a good chance to win at home. Played well at home so far. We will get to our full preview of that game, Keith, next week. Don't need to let all of our points out of the bag here with a week to go. Still a lot of time to think about this matchup and break it down. But big news this week. Former Maryland head coach Ralph Friedgen will return for that game, honored at the game against Penn State.
Honorary captain,
as he returns to Maryland Stadium, a place he had so much success in the 2000s, leading Maryland to the Orange Bowl, to wins in the Peach Bowl. to wins in the Gator Bowl, National Coach of the Year his first year, as he led Maryland to its only BCS appearance, which now I guess you would consider New Year's Six College Football Playoff appearance, since that's those systems have kind of been implemented. He will return, and we were able to catch up with one of his best quarterbacks this week to talk about Fridge.
That's Scott McBrien.
That is Scott McBrien, who had so much success under Friedgen. But, Keith, for us, we grew up watching Ralph Friedgen's teams. Pretty cool to have him coming back.
My freshman year, I should say. I wasn't playing on the field, so it wasn't my season.
You were playing on the rugby field.
A little bit different. Yeah. But my freshman year, of course, you'll remember those teams and the success that they had that one season with Torrey Smith and able to get to that Military Bowl. But it's great that he's back in town, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of Maryland football alumni alongside with him.
There's no doubt there will be. One of those guys will be Scott McBrien, who we had this week on the show to talk about Fridge and a whole lot more. Scott had obviously a great Maryland career, led the Terps to those wins in the Gator and Peach Bowl, and played on those really talented Maryland teams. One of the interesting things he really harped on is had Coach Locks recruit him when he was at DeMatha, and now is really also one of those guys that believes that if you can keep all that Maryland talent home, you can have a lot of success. That happened on a lot of McBrien's teams back in the early 2000s, sort of the Maryland teams that were with us as we were growing up, Keith, as kids. And we talked to Scott about a variety of different things. That stuff, about some stories about Fridge, his own career, some of the different things about that. Studying under Brett Favre for a single preseason in the NFL, which is pretty interesting. Had a great time with Scott, who's been an analyst on BTN and the Maryland Radio Network, so he knows how to break down the game. Let's get to our interview with former Maryland quarterback Scott McBrien. As the University of Maryland celebrates the start of another athletic season, Maryland Athletics is excited to announce the launch of Terps 10,000, our campaign for a goal of 10,000 Terrapin Club members. Individuals who join the Terrapin Club during the campaign and become new members will receive a Maryland Terrapin Club branded flag to proudly fly at your home, office, or tailgate. All current members are eligible to receive a flag by donating an additional $55 to the Terrapin Club. Plant your flag at terps10k.com. We're back here on Hear the Turtle with former Maryland quarterback Scott McBrien. Scott, thanks for joining us, man.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
First of all, we got to have you put your analyst hat on to start here. Solid start for the Terps. Obviously, a tough loss to Temple, but before that, a blowout win over Syracuse. Offense is really humming. What do you see from Maryland that you've liked so far in the 2019 season?
Yeah, I mean, tough loss, obviously, last week against Temple. You hate to see any loss, but, at the end of the day, Temple's a good football team. Maryland's going to lose games. And, unfortunately, everybody kind of wanted to go 3-0 into the Penn State week. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. But, at the end of the day, I mean, I like, what the team is doing. I like the way they're running around. They're playing with passion. Loxley seems to have this team fired up. I think they're playing well in all three phases. Offensively, of course, even though last week was a little hiccup. Defense are flying around and special teams as well. So, I think they're going to be fine. I'd like everybody to pump the brakes a little bit. Temple's a good football team. They're going to win a lot of games this year, and it's just a matter of for Maryland putting it all together, playing well in all three phases against Penn State, and really carrying it on through the rest of the season.
And you mentioned that Penn State game, huge game, obviously, coming up in College Park next Friday. And your former head coach, Ralph Friedgen, he's going to be in attendance. When that name comes up, what are just some of your best memories of him?
Yeah, Coach Friedgen, of course. I've got a soft spot in my heart for Coach Friedgen. Obviously, he gave me the opportunity to walk on at Maryland. Of course, I wasn't offered out of high school. I wanted to be a Terp, coming out of DeMatha High School in Hydesville. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. And I went up to that school in Morgantown. But, I remember the day that I left Morgantown, I had the opportunity to come back home and walk on to the football team at Maryland. And Coach Friedgen gave me that opportunity. And, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be where I am today. And obviously, I wouldn't have the career that I had at Maryland. So, I always thank him for that. And he believed in me. And he, watched film of me, of course. And he knew and believed that I could play. And he gave me a shot. So, for that, I'm thankful.
Talk about that a little bit. You just touched on it. You start the career at West Virginia, and then you have the opportunity to come back to Maryland. What ultimately was that sort of process like? Do you get the call from Coach Friedgen to get the chance to come back? Sort of take us through that, because obviously, as you said, you dreamed to be a Terp, and you end up getting that opportunity after having to go somewhere first. What was that whole process like?
Yeah, actually, I kind of knocked on his door. I don't know if he expected anything out of that, but I remember knocking on his door and Coach Loxley too. And, because Coach Loxley recruited me out of high school, and he wanted me to be a Terp. Unfortunately, that scholarship wasn't there at the end of the day, but he wanted me to be a part of the program. Coach Loxley begged me to walk on out of high school, but you know, back then my parents weren't going to pay for college. So they said, son, you're going to go where it's free. So I ended up taking that scholarship. But you know, I knocked on Coach Freed's door and said, you know, I'd like to be a Terp. Do you have a spot for me? And he said, you know, as of right now we don't, but we'd love to have you walk on. I've seen you play. I know you can throw the football and I'd love to have you be a part of the Terp family. And, you know, that was pretty cool. Of course, you know, I didn't know if I was going to play, but I knew that I had an opportunity to battle and compete for that starting position. I knew who my competition was, and I just kind of took that leap of faith and jumped into the Maryland football arms. And, you know, obviously at the end of the day, it worked out, but that was a pretty wild ride for that month of August between when I left West Virginia to then walking on to Maryland's campus in August. That was a wild August for sure.
So obviously you said you had that soft spot for Coach Freeger, but now it seems obviously a soft spot for Maryland's current head coach, Mike Loxley. What's it like for you to see him now get this opportunity to be the leader of the program? What are your earliest memories of Coach Lox as a recruiter? Obviously, a much talked about, lauded recruiter, so he must have had a big effect on you. What do you see from Coach Lox?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Lox out of high school, he wanted me. I mean, he was trying to find any way to get me onto campus. I mean, he wanted me to punt. He wanted me to kick. He wanted me to do anything that I could to be a part of the Maryland family out of high school. And, you know, obviously that didn't happen, but, you know, Coach Loxley was a big factor in me coming back to Maryland when I left West Virginia. And I, you know, he was one that I loved out of high school and I wanted to play for him. I wanted to be coached by him. And, you know, having that opportunity was amazing. And, you know, I wanted Coach Loxley to stay that year that, you know, he left. You know, he was given that head coaching job for a game or two. I don't really remember how many games it was at the end of the season. But I wanted to see him stay, and unfortunately he didn't. He went down to Alabama, and of course we all know what he did down there. And for him to be given this opportunity to come back to Maryland, I mean, you know, him being from the DC area and bleeding red, being a Terp, you know, most of his career, you know, it's just awesome to see him get the opportunity to be the head guy finally, right? To lead this team finally. He deserves it. He's worked for it. And I really do believe that he's going to do a fantastic job down in College Park, not only on the recruiting side of things, but the X's and O's. I mean, you know, you can see what type of coach he is. You can see what, you know, the kind of offense that he ran and, you know, obviously winning national championships and being a part of that big program down in Tuscaloosa and being under Coach Saban. He's learned so much, and for him to kind of take what he's learned, not only over the years, but under Coach Saban and bringing it here to College Park and implementing it. I mean, this is going to go a long way. So I'm excited for him. I'm fired up for him. And obviously I root for him, of course, and wish him nothing but the best.
No doubt. And you talk about that high school career coming right down the street at DeMatha High School. You have a great senior season. I think I saw 25 touchdowns, no interceptions, but how great is it to see that DeMatha pipeline open once again? I think there's double-digit DeMatha guys on the roster. And just, you know, recruiting that DMV area, which is such a football-rich area that a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah, it is. And you know, a lot of people think of this area as a basketball area, right? And a lot of people think of DeMatha as a basketball program, which it is, of course, but you know, there's so much football talent, not only at DeMatha, but within the DMV area. And, you know, we've always been saying, you know, we've said this for a long time. If Loxley can really lock down the DMV, I think he'll be okay, right? You don't even really have to venture out far from the DMV area. And I think that's really what Loxley focuses on, is keeping family home with family, right? He's always said that. Let's keep Maryland home and have them play for the University of Maryland. And I think that's a huge focus of his. And, you know, it's always been a focus of his, right? Him growing up in the area, he knows the area like the back of his hand. He knows where the talent comes from. And for him to be able to recruit at DeMatha, you know, I know Coach Elijah and Bill McGregor down there. I mean, you know, there's such a history and a tradition. Even back when I played, we had a ton of DeMatha guys on my football team back in my years. So, you know, it's just really cool to see the local talent staying home and not only staying home, but being productive, right? I mean, these kids coming out of these local high schools, I mean, they're playing quick, they're playing fast, they're adapting to the college game, and they're really being productive. So that's cool to see.
Now, coming back to your career, you step in as the starter after one of the best seasons in school history in Coach Friesen's first year. Did you feel any pressure in that season when you came in as the starter? Obviously, you had some success at West Virginia, but for your hometown school after such a big year, what was that like for you as you stepped on the field for your first start against Notre Dame?
Yeah, I mean, I like to forget that game. Unfortunately, I had to open up against Notre Dame in the Meadowlands on national television in that kickoff classic.
Yeah, no pressure, right? No pressure.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, I wish I could have opened up with, you know, a D3 school or something like that. But it didn't happen that way. It was unfortunate. But, yeah, I mean, you know, obviously there's pressure. And not only, you know, your first start, you know, your first start at Maryland, your first start on national television. But, again, you know, it's your first start in front of your family, your friends, your city, your town. Of course, you're adding pressure on top of it. But I kind of learned how to deal with that pressure. I kind of learned how to shut it all out. I learned to just kind of focus on what I could control. And, you know, Ralph Friesen was a big part of that, right? I mean, he was one that I kind of looked up to. He was the offensive mind. I mean, you know, I can't tell you how many one-on-one sessions I'd have with him. Not only him, but Coach Charlie Taft was the quarterback coach at the time. And shoot, one quick story. We played Morgantown, we played West Virginia in Morgantown. My junior year was probably one of the biggest, one of the biggest road games of my career. It was kind of a make or break game for our season. And that whole bus ride to Morgantown, 3 hours, he sat right next to me in the front row and quizzed me from the moment we left College Park to the moment we got to Morgantown. And, you know, at the time I hated him for that because I kind of wanted to put my headphones on and take a nap. But at the end of the day, that was the best thing that he did for me because I learned so much from him in that 3 hours. And, you know, it really showed that game. I mean, I think I had one of the best games of my career at Maryland when we played at Morgantown and we ended up blowing them out. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, you mentioned that game in Morgantown. It seems like you always showed up in those big games. You were a 2-time bowl game MVP. You know, what did you pride yourself on just being able to perform on the big stage, you know, when the chips are pushed in?
Yeah, you know, it was cool to perform on the big stage. Obviously, we lost a couple big games that I wish I could go back and redo and rehash and replay and all that. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think one thing that really benefited me was my teammates, right? I mean, I was so fortunate to be a part of just great teams. I mean, you look back at our teams, 1-2-3. I mean, God, how many NFL guys were on those squads, right? You know, not many. I mean, a lot. It's almost endless at every position. And we were deep, too. I mean, one guy went down, the next man went up, and he ended up going to the NFL. So I was extremely lucky. Yeah, I won bowl MVPs and broke a lot of records and this and that. But at the end of the day, it wasn't because of me. It was because of the guys we had on the team. I mean, at every single position, both sides of the ball, we had, you know, fantastic teams. And I was very fortunate to be a part of those teams.
I was going to ask, you had some great talent, obviously, on the offensive side of the ball that you utilized. But defensively, you guys, just to name a few, you had E.J. Henderson, Sean Merriman, DeQuell Jackson, Dominic Foxworth, Madu Williams. The list goes on and on. NFL guys you were going up against in practice. What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, shoot, that went a long way, right? Because I had to play against those guys every day in practice. And I kind of took pride in really beating those guys every day in practice. Now, they're going to say that they won most of the time. But at the end of the day, they made me better. They made us as an offense better. And I think, you know, I know it really helped us going against those guys Monday through Thursday in practice every day. I mean, we battled. We would have absolute battles. And at the end of the day, it just made us that much more efficient, that much better as an offense. And it really showed, obviously, you know, winning 21 games and only losing 6. So in my 2 years. So, you know, and winning 30 games in 3 years. So it was pretty cool. And it was great to have that defense on that side of the ball. And I tell you what, I can't tell you how many times they bailed us out as an offense. And it allowed us to kind of succeed later on down the road.
Another guy we got to bring up, Vernon Davis, who showed up your last season, who is still doing it in the NFL, had probably one of the plays of the year already with that catch in Week 1. When did you figure out that he, you know, was a next level athlete, had that type of athleticism?
Yeah, Vernon is an interesting athlete here. He, you know, coming out of high school, he came in as a receiver. And I'll never forget one summer we're working out, and you know, I'm throwing him slants, throwing him out cuts, throwing him balls in practice, in the indoor and out on the practice field. And, you know, he didn't have the best hands coming out of high school as a receiver, which is kind of funny to me now because I always think he has great hands now. But, you know, I remember the ball kind of beating him up, and he always used to blame me that it was the lefty spin. He couldn't catch a lefty pass, but he didn't have the greatest hands. So they were like, you know what? You're so big, you're strong, you're physical, you're fast. We're going to move you to tight end. I don't know who decided to move Vernon to tight end from receiver, but obviously it ended up being the best move that he could ever make because he's still doing it, you know, 50 years old or however old he is now. So it's amazing. It's amazing how he has been able to do it for so long at a high level.
You signed with the Green Bay Packers out of college, and me and Keith just have to ask, any good Brett Favre stories?
There's a lot of Brett Favre stories, but I will tell you, I probably none that I can repeat here in the car, but
that's fair.
I will tell you, you know, like, look, it's me coming out of college. I'm a free agent. I'm 6 foot, 155 pounds soaking wet, probably have no shot to make the team. And for Brett Favre to really take me under his wing, was something obviously he didn't have to do. And it was one of the coolest things ever because Brett's a guy that, you know, I looked up to my whole life. I love watching Brett on Sundays. I rooted for Brett. He was one of my favorite NFL quarterbacks. And then I get the opportunity to be with him every day in meetings, be with him every day on the practice field, play golf with Brett, just be around him and his family. And for him to really take me under his wing was pretty cool. I mean, I've got a picture at home in my home office that is framed, and it's me looking over the playbook on the sideline during a Tennessee Titan game because I'm in the game, and Brett is next to me pointing out coverages. He's telling me what to do, what I did wrong, and he did that after every series, not only during games but in the meeting rooms on the practice field. And he was always telling me, hey, Scott, what was your read, or what were you thinking here? Next time, look the safety off and throw the other way. And he'd just given me direction. You know, and maybe that was because I wasn't a threat, but for him to do that was still pretty cool. And for me to have kind of my childhood, you know, quarterback hero to do that with me every day was pretty special.
You ended up playing a little bit in the CFL. What is playing in the CFL like? Because I think that's something that, you know, we're all watching the NFL here in the States, but obviously a lot of, you know, former college football players go up there and have a lot of success there. What was that like for you for the couple of years you were up there?
Yeah, obviously it's different. You know, the field's longer, wider. You got 12 guys on the field. You throw every down. You only get three downs. I mean, God, the rules are so different. It's definitely a quarterback receiver league because of that. You've got to throw the football. You can hardly run it because you got to punt on third down if you don't make the first down. So, but it was cool. It was definitely a cool experience. It was a different type of football, but it was a fun football. It was, you know, a slinging QB football. Receivers loved it because they were always catching the ball. And, you know, it was fun just to be with the Alouettes for a couple of years and experience Canada and travel all around. And that was pretty cool.
Scott, we'll get you out of here in a little bit of rapid fire. First, your bucket list sporting event to attend?
The Masters, which I have attended.
Ooh, that's a great one. I have been there.
I was going to say, you've been to.
Yeah, I've been to one. It's awesome.
Favorite play of your football career?
Favorite play in my football career was probably a broken play down at Clemson my junior year on ESPN. It was a Saturday night. It was a screen play that was meant to go to Bruce, and if Bruce was covered, I had to flip my hips and throw it back to Steve Suter, and he's so damn short I couldn't find him. So I ended up tucking the ball, and I ran it for about 60 yards and got hawked on the 5-yard line.
I actually, in doing research for this, watched that play. It's you ducked under about five different guys at the line. It's a ridiculous. Yeah. It's a ridiculous play.
I was close to falling. I thought I was just going to fall and collapse. And I opened my eyes, and there was a wide open hole, and I took off.
This may lead right into our next question, but the best environment you played in outside of College Park, best road environment you played in?
Yeah, God, that's tough. It's obviously between Clemson and Florida State. Clemson was pretty cool, but Florida State, I tell you what, when that horse comes out and they throw the spear on the 50-yard line in front of a sold-out crowd, that's pretty cool.
Toughest defensive player you faced in college?
I'm going to stay right there, Darnell Dockett.
Darnell Dockett's big time. Finally, and you can either have this be now or when you were in college, or you can do both, your favorite place to eat in College Park?
Favorite place to eat in College Park. Oh my gosh. Well, I'll keep it in College Park since we're, you know, this is a Terp themed interview here. Well, I've got two places. One is Cluck U. I don't even know if Cluck U is there anymore.
I think it's Clucksters now, but it's still the same concept. Yeah.
Clucksters. Okay. Clucksters. And, I got to take it back to my Roll Dogs at Bentley's. They got great food and they got cold beer.
There you go.
Can't beat it.
And that's really all that you need. Scott McBrien, you're going to have some good food and cold beer next Friday against Penn State. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time. Obviously all that you did for Maryland football is fantastic, and we'll see you down the road. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Keith, great stuff there from Scott McBrien. I would say Vernon Davis's hands have improved since Scott was
just
the ball.
A little bit. He's gotten a little bit stronger too.
A little bit stronger, but I was doing research for that interview, and there's a play they have in that Gator Bowl when Vernon was a true freshman, where he just weaves through West Virginia defenders. And I think if you watched that play, you were going to be able to tell what he did later in his career, and then into the NFL, a first round pick coming out of college. But so much talent on some of those teams. And we ran through some of those defensive people. I didn't even say them all. Randy Starks on those teams, Karome Cox on those teams. So many great defensive players. And it really shows you that type of talent can come here to Maryland and get you to bowl games like that. Really some great players in those years.
Absolutely. And hopefully we have a great game on Friday for all the players that are back in town here for Friday Night Lights at Maryland Stadium.
Absolutely. It will be very fun. Obviously, if you're coming to that game on that day, a lot of different things. So make sure you go to umterps.com, find that Friday Night Lights info, make sure you're squared away so that game day experience is as good as it can be, because it will be a very, very fun day. And as Keith said, tons of former players scheduled to come back for that game. Should be an electric night in College Park. That's enough for us on this sort of more football-centric episode of Hear the Turtle. We will have another episode dropping Friday as we caught up with the head coach of Maryland Women's Soccer, Ray Leone, after his 300th win. Talked a lot of different stuff with Ray, and we'll do a little bit of a recap of sort of how the Olympic sports have been doing so far this fall season. So two episodes this week for Hear the Turtle. More time to hear your voice, Keith.
Double dosage. Come on.
Double dosage of Hear the Turtle. Nothing better. But that's enough for us, as I said, for this episode. Follow us on all of our social media channels, at Hear the Turtle on Twitter, at Hear the Turtle on the gram. Sneds301 for Keith, if you like stickers, at Life of Sticker on Instagram. And then Taylor Spike 10 for me on all of them. And we'll see you next time.
Go Terps.